I'd like to ask you a question tonight. Do you need a revival? I'm looking for a revival. And we have revival as we turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, and most of this whole chapter is about revival in Nehemiah's day. The same God that bring revival in Nehemiah's day, the same God bring revival in our day. But always comes through the Word of God. We've had some great awakenings across our country in the past years. We've had some great revivals from coast to coast in our nation. There've been some great revivals in churches and across continents, but it's always come through the Word of God, always, when they recognize the Word of God. God have a special purpose for each one of us. He's got a special purpose for this church being planted inside this road many years ago. He has a special purpose for our country that we live in. God has a very purpose, great purpose. But the greatest need, I really believe that each of us could say tonight, I know my greatest need, I really do believe, is a revival. I know the greatest need this church need is a revival. That's our greatest need of a church, and I believe that's the greatest need of our country, for our country to have a revival across this land. I don't know if our country will have a revival or not. But I know it's possible that for me to have revival, it's possible for you to have revival, and it's also possible for this church to have a revival. And revival is a visit from God, and He comes down and He talks with us with a great awakening. I'd like to ask you a question. Are you satisfied with your Christian walk? Are you satisfied with your Christian work? Are there something missing? Whenever we work and labor for the Lord, and we do it because we want to bring glory to the name of Jesus, and it takes a lot of people to make a church function, for a church to grow. Everybody has to pull their part, but everybody has something to do. But whatever you're doing for the Lord in this church and in your life, are you doing it for the glory of God? Are you doing it for the glory of God? Or is there something we're doing it and there's something that feel like it's just missing? Do you just have to teach Sunday school, or are you doing it just because it's the glory of God and you thank Him? I have to ask myself that same question whenever I'm preparing messages and when I'm preaching the Word of God. Am I doing this because I have to, and I'm doing this because it's my job or my duty or my position, or am I doing this to bring glory to the name of Jesus? If we're not doing it for the name of Jesus and bring glory to His name, you ought to stop it. No matter what you're doing, you ought to quit. If Jesus Christ is not getting the glory for whatever we're doing, we need revival. Nehemiah's day, they was doing the work of the Lord. Now we find out in this chapter, they was hungry for the Lord of the work. I mean, a lot of times we work for the Lord, but do you ever get hungry for the Lord of the work? In this passage, we know that the walls had been built. You know, in Nehemiah's days, whenever he was in Shushan, the palace, in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, that he got word that how that Jerusalem was laid in waste. We know that the nation of Israel were carried away into captivity to Babylon. They stayed there for 70 years before they returned because of the idolatry they lived in. God carried them to the very heart of idolatry in Babylon. They stayed there until it was time to return back. God said they'd be there for 70 years, and Nehemiah was one of the people that led them back to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, they said that whenever he heard that the walls was tore down, the gates were burnt with fire, and how the people of Jerusalem, how they'd been scattered across the land, it said he sat down and he wept, he mourned several days. Because if you're looking back at what God had done for that great nation that laid in waste, I like for us to look at what God has done for our nation, also what God has done for this church, what God has done for your family, what God has done for you. And I think a lot of time we'd have to admit in all these areas, or a lot of these areas, and some of these areas, that we see the walls have tore down in our life and tore down in our country and maybe even broken down in our family and even in our personal life. But they had been working, they had moved back, and they got together, and they was going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, because of the enemy would come in and out anytime they want to, and they didn't have any protection. Walls was for protection. Nehemiah's days, we know that they had been building for many, many weeks and months and even years there. They rebuilt the walls and the gates at this time in chapter 8. to keep out the enemy from coming in and out and just destroying that town, that little place called Jerusalem. Well, you know, they knew very well, and we need to understand also that walls will not keep out the greatest enemy. You know, that we have a great power in our country and our great warfare that we have in our Navy and our Army and our military. But as Jerusalem knew that the greatest enemy was not something to keep out with walls and gates, and also in our country and our lives, you know, that the greatest wall we have is a spiritual wall that God puts around us, protection upon our country and also our lives and our family and our churches, that God protects us. They knew this. This was a spiritual awakening that they knew that they needed. They had the walls up. They could see the physical walls, but they need a spiritual wall up now, because we know in our homes this hour, you know, we have locks on our doors and we have security system in our home because we want to be protected, and we might keep burglars out, we might keep people from knocking down our doors and coming in and hurting us, but you know, the greatest enemy in our homes today, it certainly cannot be kept out with locks or security system that we see and by the day. But the greatest enemy we have today, we know that it's with Satan himself, and he's the one that can come through doors, and he's the one that can come over hedges, and he's the one that comes into our family. So understand these walls at our church, and we got nice walls in this building, and we thank God for what he's blessed us here with. But you know, the greatest thing we need to understand is understand that the enemy can come through these doors. In fact, he comes every night that we have service together. He comes every morning, and he comes Sunday school. We know that the enemy is with us today. God is the one that we need protection, that needs to protect us, and it's through the word of God that we have the power to realize what they done at Nehemiah's day, because people knew that they had to have this power of God, and they needed the word of God. The people of Israel, they seemed to know and to need to see that they need a personal encounter with God. I'd like to ask you tonight, do you really sense the need that you have upon your life and your family life? Is your family life going good? Is your personal life really going good? Is our church life like it ought to be in our church life? Is our church where God would want it to be? If not, you know, we understand that we ought to have a personal encounter with God. I mean, we need an encounter with God if we're going to have this corrected. We see across this great country that we live in today, we know what's going to happen in our country. There are three things that's going to happen, and we're facing a great encounter upon our church life and upon our Christian life in the country we live in today, because I understand that the hedge has been broken down, and all of our military power will not keep the enemy from destroying this country, and it won't keep the enemy from destroying your homes and your family and also your life. There are one of three things going to happen in our country. I can assure you by the power of the word of God that this country is under God's judgment, or it's going to be under God's judgment, or either we're going to have a revival, or either it's going to be the return of Jesus Christ. But one of these three things is going to happen, and I tell you, I really do believe we're already under the judgment of God. We are forcing God's hands, not only on our country, but we're forcing God's hands even in our life and also in our churches. God is in the midst of his church, and he is going to judge his churches for not doing what God has called us to do. We are the called out ones. We've been called to do a great mission. And we're living in the greatest time that any person has ever lived on the face of this earth. In 6,000 years of history of mankind, according to the Bible, we're living in the greatest opportunity that any mankind has ever lived, or any generation has ever lived, the generation that you and I are living in today. But I believe we're living in a generation closely coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got everything that we need to spread the gospel and tell this world about Jesus Christ. But what are we doing for the Lord this day? We're living in a very wonderful, wonderful time. But I'm going to tell you what, there's signs all around us today, whether you can see them or not, that God is moving in a great way in this lost world. And we need to wake up to understand what God's doing. Nehemiah, they had an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Now, today, you don't hear too much about old-fashioned stuff. People don't want to hear about old-fashioned. It's all got to be this newfangled stuff today. But I'm going to tell you, they had an old-fashioned gospel. A message was preached to them through the Word of God, and it was heaven-sent revival, and it was sin-killing. We need that today. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a soul-saving. It was Christ-enthroning, mountain-moving, devil-defying, earth-shaking revival. And all this happened through hearing of the Word of God and the preparation they needed. And they must be four things, I'm telling you, that we need. And if we're going to have revival, do you believe that God Almighty wants to revive this church? Do you believe God wants to do something very extra special that we would call the supernatural movement of God upon the church in your and my life? Do y'all really believe that? That God wants to do this? His name to be glorified? Revival through the Word of God. Something that God wants to do through His Word. And everything that God does, He does through His Word. I want to tell you, if God does any healing, He does it through the Word of God. If God does any saving, He does that through the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If any revival is ever going to go on, it's going to be through the Word of God. We need to get back to the Word of God. Now, these people understood the need for revival. If you don't understand the need for a revival, you won't have a revival. And this church won't have a revival. But they had a desire for the Word of God. Declaration of the Word. They wanted to hear it preached. They was devoted to the Word of God, and there was demonstration of the Word of God. And I can assure you, if these four things happens in your life and my life, God will visit you in a special way. Now, when this happens, God wants to revive us. But there aren't going to be the people that is really ready for revival that's going to be revived. The same message, if everybody comes every night of our revival, the same message is going to be out for everybody. But it's only going to be for those that get revived that make preparation for revival. They won't need and understand they need revival. Now, first of all, we're going to see in Nehemiah the desire for the Word of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. This is when after all the walls was built, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the streets that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the books of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now they wanted to hear the word of God. They wanted the word of God. Now it says they gathered themselves together. Nobody didn't make them. You know, people don't have to come to church, but they gathered themselves together. They had a reason for coming. They gathered themselves together. It was there on the day of Pentecost. It said they gathered themselves together in one accord. These people had been in one accord because the walls had never been built if they hadn't been in one accord. The gates would never have been rebuilt if they had not been in one accord. There was a lot they had to do, and they was in one accord of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. But now the important thing they understood was the Word of God. They was in one accord. They gathered themselves together to hear the Word of God. Isaiah was one person. As we need to do that, understand, it's not just the physical need. They was together, and we had a physical need here, a need to rebuild a church and to build a new church, and God was with us. But you see, now the greatest thing is the spiritual need is being one another in one accord. Be one person, our spiritual need. Bring us, he said, the Word of God there in that verse 1. Bring us the Word of God. Desire that the land needed to hear the Word of God and God's message. Bring us the Word of God. The sadness now in our country we're living in a lot of churches today, even in our Christian circle, there's little cry for the Word of God. Even in the pulpits across America, even in Baptist churches across America, there's a lot of Baptist preachers who stand, and you know, they don't even recognize that the Bible is the Word of God. Don't just contain the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. That's the only thing we have from heaven that we can see, feel, and touch, and know that's from heaven is the Word of God. Bring us the Word of God. Bring us the Word of God. Jesus said, well, there's coming a day that people won't hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Well, we're at that day right now that you and I are living in. There's a lot of people that don't want to hear doctrine. They don't want to hear the message of the Lord. They want to get God out of everything. God says, I'm going to send you a famine. Not of water, not of meat, but I'm going to send you a famine of the Word of God. And we're at that time that we're living in right now, a famine in our land. Even we're living in a land of plenty, but we really have a famine. In Joshua 1 and 8 it says, the law of the books shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Meditate, it says, on day and night, and you shall prosper. Meditate it. The books, the law of the Lord needs to be before us day and night. Job said, I esteem the word of the Lord more than I do the necessary food that I eat. How precious do we understand the Word of God is? Do you have your morning prayer time? Do you really thank God for the Word of God? Where would you be tonight without the Word of God? Where would your family be without the Word of God? In this dark, weary world that we're living in, this is the light that we have, the map that we might make it through, the Word of God. How great it is. God wants to send revival to you, a personal revival or a church revival. But I said, only those that desire for the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, blessed are they that who hunger and thirst after righteousness, he says, because they will be filled. There'll be some filling next week. I hope there's some filling tonight. I hope it's already started. There'll be some filling. But I tell you, it'll only be filling for those that thirst and hunger to be filled. Most of the time, we're so full of ourselves, we think we're already full. We are of ourselves. But the filling of righteousness, it said, if you hunger and thirst after it. Old song that they sing, Dust on the Bible. It's a pretty song, isn't it? Dust on the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, dust on the Bible means dirt in the heart. Dust on the Bible means dirt in the heart. We need to understand, it says also in verse 2 and verse 3, that they come to church with the attitude, Lord, speak, I'm listening. And it says there in verse 2 and 3, and Ezra the prophet brought the law before the congregation, both of the men and women, all that could hear with understanding, was big enough and old enough to understand, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gates from morning unto midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Bring the books. Bring the books, the attitude, Lord, you speak, I'm listening. I'm listening. Intended for God to do something, not to worry about who's going to be first at the cafeteria or wherever you go out to eat for Sunday. If revival comes, we must have a desire for the Word of God. That's across our land today, in the declaration of the Word of God. That's whenever he began to preach. And verse 4, as they begin to preach, and it says there in verse 4, Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood and made that was made for that purpose. And he began to preach out the Word of God. God uses the Word of God. God uses a man of God. And the method is preaching. That's God's method today of revival, is through the Word of God, by the man of God, and through preaching the Word of God. God's got a special reason for doing this. God chose the foolish of preaching, it says, to save them that believe. A church where God is blessing that church and people being saved and lives are being changed and they really have a revival always, it'd be someone is speaking the Word of God. It'd be in the Sunday school class, it'd be the teachers and the man of God preaching the Word of God. It's always when something happened. We must believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. Revival. Remember old Ezekiel? Remember old Ezekiel that God called him to preach. God calls people to preach. God calls men to preach the Word of God. And old Ezekiel said, Lord, I'm ready to preach. Where's my church? And the Lord says, you read the book of Ezekiel and you'll find out. He says, okay, come on, let's walk with me. And Ezekiel and the Lord, they walked together and they walked through the city. He didn't see any church. And, he just kept on walking and they walked outside the city. They walked to the suburbs of the city, and they walked out to the village, and they got into the country, and they kept walking with God. And he says, Lord, I don't see no church. Lord, where's the church? And they kept on walking. They got out into the desert, into the great valley. And then God took him up on a high mountain, and this great valley was filled with dry bones. He said, now, Ezekiel, here's your church. Prophesy on these dry bones. You go preaching the Word of God to this great valley of dry bones. This is your church, Ezekiel. Ezekiel began to preach the Word of God. He began to prophesy. These bones began to come together. And I got to study and wonder what he preached on. I believe Ezekiel preached on the unity of those dry bones. That they come together because it says, those bones begin to come together. And I believe we need to preach unity in our church today. What are you here for? We're here as one person to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Ezekiel began to preach those dry bones about unity because it says those bones begin to come together. And they come together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And they come together in unity as one person and one cause. And that's a cause for glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for lost souls to be saved. I do believe that Ezekiel, he preached on usefulness, because it said the bones took on muscles and they took on flesh and bones and sinew, because it takes something of every one of us. We need to have flesh and bones going out for visitation and flesh and bones for doing the work of the Lord and the muscles that it needs. I believe that Ezekiel, he preached on usefulness and they come together with a muscle. But also I believe he preached on the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, because it said that life began to come upon those dry bones. And those bones begin to come together with muscles. And then you see the Holy Spirit of God begin to work upon that valley of dry bones. Just a valley of dry bones. But you see, the valley of dry bones, as you know, a lot of churches today is just a valley of dry bones. And they're not doing what God called them to do. But you see, when those valley of dry bones begin to hear the word of God prophesy and the wind of God begin to blow upon their life, everybody began to look around and see the valley of these dry bones. And then they saw a mighty army of God begin to march. It was called the salvation of God. And the salvation of this great army began to march. And I'm telling you tonight what God will do if you're ready for a revival in these dry bones that we have. It'll come together and we'll be a mighty force of salvation army for the Lord to glorify His precious name in the day that you and I are living in. Ezekiel began to preach. I'm going to tell you, do we need a revival? Do you need a revival today? I'm going to tell you, there must be a desire for the Word of God, declaration of the Word of God, to know what it said. But then there need to be a devotion to the Word of God. In verse 5 and 6, it says, Esner opened the books in the sight of all the people, for he was above them. He stood on the pulpit, and he opened it, and all the people stood up and honored the Word of God. They stood to their feet and honored what he had to read. And Ezra blessed the Lord, that great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And they lifted up their hands when they heard the word of God, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with a face to the ground. Oh, what have you done, God? You have brought us here, the word of God. I'm going to tell you, they had a great devotion to the word of God and a great dedication to the word of God, because they knew the whole Bible, and they didn't have the whole Bible then. They had the laws. And on down to the book of Nehemiah. But you see, they understood the Old Testament was about Him. In fact, the whole Bible is about Him. And they knew that. Bring the Word of God. If you want a revival, you've got to understand what this book is about. Always revival comes through His Word. And this book is about Him. The Old Testament tells us that He's coming. I'll tell you, the New Testament tells us He has come. And the epistle state says He's coming again. We need to understand it's about Him. Bring the books, they said. Bring the books of the law. I'm going to bring the books and start in Genesis and understand that Jesus Christ was the promised seed. In the book of Exodus, they understood that He was the Passover lamb that brought them out of bondage in a time when they was in Egypt. In Leviticus, they know that Jesus Christ was the scapegoat and went around and carried our sins. We remember Him no more. And Numbers said He was the brass serpent that was lifted up upon a pole. Look, just one look is all it took, and they might be saved. Deuteronomy, He was a great lawgiver. This is where the book of law was at. And then Joshua, we understand He was a great prophet, priest, and king in Joshua. But the judge, we understand He was the judges of the world. They say, bring the books. In the book of Ruth, we understand that He was a great kinsman redeemer, called we need somebody to redeem our soul. Samuel, he was anointed king. But we know also in the Kings, He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Chronicle, He was a great history. All the book of the Chronicles. Esner, we know that he was a great temple builder. Nehemiah, he was a great wall builder. They said, bring the books. He was a great wall builder, bring the books. We also understand we must have a demonstration of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, lost people's not interested and nothing but the demonstration of what God's done in their life. You want to win somebody, you show them what God's done for you. The demonstration of repentance. It says in verse 9, and all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. If you would allow Him to take the mirror of the Word of God and shine into your heart right now, I believe there'd be more weeping than what we have. The mirror of the Word of God shines in your heart and my heart. And it did for them. It said they began to weep in repentance. We ought to weep because we don't weep. I'm concerned about the unconcerned. A dry-eyed church in a hell-bound world. You know, Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth in weeping bring precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bring his sheaves with him." You see, there won't be no demonstration of what the Word of God done in your heart and your life unless there's a repentance. There's got to be repentance if you want a revival. There's got to be a demonstration of what God's done through His Word in your heart, your life, and mine also. But I'm going to tell you, every time that you have a demonstration of repentance, you have a demonstration of rejoicing, of bringing back. As a backslider, a slide away from the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you've got to have a demonstration of repentance in your life. And then whenever you do, it always comes rejoicing because you're back in fellowship with God. It always follows it that way. You always got to have repentance before you have rejoicing. I'm going to tell you the joy. Verse 10, it says, "And he said unto them, Go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portion to them, for nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Why some people don't rejoice? Because they don't repent. They're never happy about anything because they don't know repentance. When the joy is gone, I'm going to tell you, in a Christian life, the strength is gone. And the strength is gone, the power is gone, the prayers is gone, the witness is gone. Until we repent and restore back into fellowship with God. And then you see there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But then you see there's a demonstration of renewal. They understood the word that were declared unto them. They understood the intent of what God has to say in His word about revival. Demonstration of renewal. The intent that God has for His word for us tonight. What does it really mean to us? Are you satisfied with your walk and your work in the Lord? If you want a revival, as I said, I do believe that somebody's going to be revived in this revival. The same message will be preached to everybody. But it'd be only those souls that's got their preparation made ready. And I hope that our whole church will be revived, which I doubt it will. You know, everybody's not going to be revived. But I ask you the question personally, do you want to be revived? Because if you want to be revived, you can be revived. You believe that? And do you need revival? It always reminds me of revival whenever I think about it is this scripture here. I can just see the people, how they've done all the work for the Lord, but now they wanted the Lord of the work. Lord, meet with us in a real way. And I believe there will be a time of weeping because you have seen yourself how you really are. You see, we think we're doing pretty good until we take the mirror of God's Word and it shines into our heart, into our life. When that happens, we won't have to beg anybody to fill a job or vacancy at our church if something needs doing. And you won't worry about who's going to get the credit or what's going to be done. You'll say, "Lord, let me do it." You're here for a purpose, and God wants to do it. A great work in your life. As we bow in prayer this hour, and we thank you, and we be praying for revival in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. But I feel like doing something a little different right now. I just wonder, Miss Dorothy, or you would like to come and just play a song. We won't even ask to sing, Brother Orville, just to come and like for her to play. And we still have another minute or two if anybody would like to come to this altar. They want to just pray for the revival or whatever it might be. I don't like to dismiss without having this opportunity of coming. Lord, been good to us. Been good to us. As I ask you to stand at this time and just pick out a song you're going to play, and you want to step out of your pews, if you need to come. Thank you.